I kind of had this crazy crisis of faith a couple months back into being in America, and was mixed up in this cult for a little bit.
Oh.
Which is a whole nother story.
Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. I'll like try and summarize it. But I was out at breakfast in Fisher's, and a girl came up to my car and was like, knocked on my window. I didn't know her. And I was like...
Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. On today's episode, we're excited to welcome Chloe Black, formerly Chloe Green. Chloe grew up in Fishers, Indiana, and graduated from high school in 2016. She also became a Christian at the age of 16, which was a life-changing moment that sparked her passion for full-time missions. After graduating, she spent 9 months traveling the world on a mission trip called the World Race before moving to Los Angeles, where she served as a missionary at the Dream Center for 4 years. Chloe is now newly married to her husband, TJ Black, and currently serves as the area director for HSC Young Life and Wildlife, a ministry dedicated to introducing adolescents to Jesus and helping them grow in their faith.
Welcome, Chloe.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Oh my gosh. This is so fun. Thank you. Yeah. I love it. I love it. So she might be young and look young, but she does have quite a bit of life experiences and under her belt. And we are all about it. So I can't wait to hear about your life.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
I'm excited.
So tell us who Chloe Green is.
Yeah. So I was born here in Fishers, Indiana, which is a little suburb outside of Indianapolis. And I'm the oldest of three. So I have a younger brother and a younger sister. And my parents, were awesome. They gave us, my dad started like his own company. We moved on like guys. Like our life was really focused around just like success and like your image. And my mom opened up her own cheer and dance gym, competitive cheer and dance gym.
Oh, nice.
So I really grew up in that world, of dance and cheer. And so like that was kind of the center of our life. And my family, like, my parents didn't raise us with, like, any sort of faith or anything like that. Just not something we ever, like, talked about. The main focus was really, like, your social life, your, you know, how good you were at cheer and sports and school and all those things. And so that's kind of what my life revolved around. And then shortly after my little sister was born, she's, like, 8 years younger than me. My parents kind of struggled in their marriage. My dad was like mainly the financial provider, so we didn't see him much. And my mom is the one that kind of took care of us. And it's around the age of like 10 is when her drinking became really bad. So she started developing an addiction to alcohol. And that was just challenging being the oldest, like having to really kind of carry like the weight of that and try and hide that, because we had a lot of, you know, money and like status and all those things, but like I just didn't want to see, I didn't want people to see like what happened behind closed doors. And so that like progressively got worse all throughout junior high. My world was kind of centered around my friends and like just trying to like
keep up with everybody else
around you. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And
was that a pressure for you to keep that a secret from you or from your parents? Or was that something you put on yourself, to, like you didn't want other people to know about?
It was definitely a kind of a whole family thing of like, we try and she was like a very functioning alcoholic at the time because she still owned the cheer and dance gym too. Okay. And so it was definitely something we tried not to talk about until we just couldn't anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, my house kind of became like the house where everyone could come because there wasn't a lot of supervision. And so actually right after 7th grade, going into 8th grade, is when I also started picking up drinking and stuff like that. And so I started real young, which I wouldn't recommend, you know? but that was just like everyone came over to my house and, you know, we just, like I said, there wasn't supervision really. So I found like a lot of purpose in that and like being like the fun party girl. Mm-hmm. And like I started like looking to those things, like boys, all that stuff for my worth. My freshman year is when my parents got divorced and my dad got full custody of us. And so it was a really weird time because we moved from like our house in Cambridge to like a 3-bedroom apartment in Saxony. And like me and Tessa shared, my little sister shared a room when I was like 16, she was like 9. And it kind of like was just like everything started to just crumble. And I feel like that's when I really started like diving deeper. I think I was on the same path, like addictions and stuff. And that lasted like kind of my whole freshman year. And all this time I had like known about Christianity and Jesus. And I really like, I had friends who were like into all that. And I always thought it was like for people that didn't have like real problems. Mm-hmm. And I think like from like the age of like 11, I just developed like a really hardened heart to it all. Like my old babysitter from like 7 to 11 introduced me to like porn and
like, wait, she would like watch that with you guys?
Like just me, yeah. And like have me do stuff to her and yeah. And I kind of had grown up in that like cheer and dance, and I was always hanging out with older girls anyways. And so I felt like I was just introduced to so many things at such a young age.
Oh my gosh. How old were you?
It started when I was 7 till I was like 11. Yeah. Yeah. And at the time I like knew it wasn't like right, but I just was like, I didn't know anything that better, you know, like I just knew it was something I shouldn't really talk about.
Did you say don't tell your parents and that type of thing, or
I don't, was kind of underlined? She might have. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, it was just kind of something like, okay, this is just normal, I guess. Yeah, like this is what people do. And so I feel like at such that age I was like really understood that like my worth was in like the way I looked and like how, like, what I could do for other people. And, like, so that really translated into, like, you know, just being, like, hooking up with boys or trying to, like, find value in that. Mm-hmm. And so that was, like, a big struggle as well with the alcohol and smoking and things like that. Mm-hmm. So all that time, I had these thoughts about God. And I knew there's this, like, really popular ministry called Young Life at my school. And so a lot of my friends went to it. And, again, I just, like, I was so cold at this point where I just, like, made fun of all the kids that went to Young Life.
Of course.
And I would, like, and Young Life can have, like, a stigma, at least in our area, where it's, like, the party kids, too. So, like, I literally would post on Twitter, like, I'd, like, hold a fifth of like Tito's or something in a Young Life shirt and be like, Young Life, and make fun of them.
Oh wow.
I was mean. I was such a mean girl back then as well too, because I mean,
you had so much hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just was trying to like keep up that rep.
But
yeah,
you were curious inside, deep inside. Exactly. Were you a little curious? Like,
yes. Or, okay. Especially starting my freshman year of high school is when I started just like, we were just, me and my friends were doing the same thing like every single weekend, you know, drinking, going to this party, all these things. And like, we weren't that like nice to each other. Mm. And I just, it like, the facade of it all started to really fade away for me. And I just started asking, also my dad was like recently divorced and was also kind of living the same lifestyle, like for the weekends and things like that. And so I just looked at like the adults around me too in their life, and I was like, is this all that life is about? Like, is this what I have to look forward to? Like, because at least in our community, it's very much like you go to school, you get a degree, you like make money, you have a family, you do, you know, like all these things. And I'm like, is this like all there is? This is, I just started asking those deeper questions, which at first just led to like a really depressing time for me where I just felt like, I don't know if I want this or this life anymore. So towards the end of my freshman year, I had like a teacher who would invite me to Young Life all the time. And a friend too would also invite me to Young Life all the time. And I'd every week I would say like, no, you know, and I was like mean about it too, but they never gave stopped. Up. Yeah. And, finally I went to some and I still would like sit in the back, and at Young Life, you like play a lot of fun games. And I was like, huh, this is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then they'd share like a message. And like, I remember vividly like sitting in the back with one of my friends who also didn't believe in God at the time. And we were like making fun of the story. Like, oh yeah, let's walk on water. Or like, we just thought it was all like so naive. And then Young Life is really known for these camps that they do in the summer. And so there was this week-long camp. And I was kind of at that point of just fed up with my life. And also, I always say God knows how to get our attention, because there was a boy that I liked that was going to Young Life camp. So I was
all
like,
those boys, yay.
Yeah, I was like, okay, how bad can Young Life camp be?
Right?
I mean, he's going, I could go. And literally I got like three of my friends to go. We brought alcohol to the Young Life camp, which is hilarious. You'll hear what I do now, but this it's bad. You don't do that. And and I was like, okay, this is just be a fun week away. And then we go, and it's super fun. Like, you, and it's like resort style camping. It's beautiful. And so we like played games and all this fun stuff. And then every night we'd have what we call like club, which is like dancing and music, and then a message about the gospel. And so this was my first time like really truly hearing about who Jesus is. I just kind of made a lot of assumptions of who he was. And so each night that kind of builds to the cross and what Jesus did. It was crazy because my friends were like talking the whole time during the message, but for some reason I was just like locked in on this on the speaker and like taking in every word. And I started learning like Jesus like hung out with the prostitutes and like the sinners and the tax collectors, and like
he's not a judgmental person.
That was like exactly the opposite of what I saw. And like slowly throughout that whole week I just saw myself like starting to fall in love with this Jesus character. And then it got to the last, like one of the last nights where it talks about our sin and the cross. And I was seriously like, I didn't even know the word sin. I didn't understand what that was. The speaker talked about like this verse that I have tattooed. And talked about how when Jesus was dying on the cross, and the men that were like currently like beating him and torturing him, he like looked to God and said like, Father, forgive them, for they don't not know what they are doing. And I just remember being like, sorry, I always get emotional. I just remember being like, what is this kind of love? Like, it was a love that I had never experienced like in this life of like, oh my God, I freaked out all my friends because I just started bawling for like hours. It was like all my brokenness and sin and my life like that I had shoved down like all came out that night. And so I just like really experienced his presence and fell in love with him. And then my Young Life leader stayed up with me till like 3 a.m. We like went on the porch and I asked her like all my questions about Christianity, like all the things I didn't fully understand. And the Holy Spirit just really spoke through her, and she helped me pray to give my life to Christ that night. And it was just amazing. It was truly amazing. And I went in thinking it was just going to be this fun
party thing.
My life was like forever changed. But then, you know, you go home and like my
have
life,
to face your
my whole life is
old life.
Yeah,
yes.
The same. And so, that was really challenging for like a while. That's when I started going to iTown where I met Heather. And that was the first church I'd been to, too. And I was like, whoa, this is church. Like, it was, like, dark this in can there. Be fun. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Clubby lighting. Yes. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I remember also there, too, like, I'd still go out Saturday night and I'd come to church by myself, like hungover, like, wow. But it was like, and every time, so honestly, and I always crack up about this, but you know how like at the end, they like say, raise your hand and give your life to Christ. I didn't know how it worked. So like,
I rose my hand every Sunday.
Yes. Every Sunday for like 4 months, I rose my hand every time. Cause I was like, God, I'm so sorry. Like I genuinely just didn't know how to like really let go of mm-hmm. that life, and God actually really like made a way my sophomore year, and I went to like 21 days of prayer, and
so it was a slow change. I think that's important to kind of tell for people who are struggling with the same things too, that it's not going to be like, okay, I accept Jesus and then your life is going to transform the next day. It's a process, and he will walk with you, exactly. right? And I love that you're saying this because it might take a while for some. And it might be a radical change for some.
Yeah.
But it's very likely that it isn't. Wouldn't you say that? Yeah. Very likely that will take a while.
It takes time. Yeah. And like just continuously feeling like he was just like always inviting me. Mm-hmm. Like he's like,
to go deeper.
I have so much more for you if you would let go of this life. And so I literally like sent a breakup text to like all my friends. Wow. Finally, it was like after a New Year's Eve party, and it was like a terrible party. And
you were done.
That next day I just texted him. It was literally like a breakup text. And then there was 21 days of prayer. And I think that's really where I finally like
let go.
Was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. And it was hard because in high school to like really follow Jesus, like
very hard. Yeah.
You kind of feel really alone in that. And
especially if you had been hanging out with this crowd, then it's all of a sudden you're like, gosh, I have to start again.
Yeah. It's like now I have no one.
So
yeah.
How did they react to it? Like, were they thinking, oh, she's crazy?
It was a phase I was going through. And they were like, okay, like you go. And they kind of made fun of it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there were definitely points where I was like, okay, maybe I made the wrong decision. Because there was just some lonely nights. And I just prayed to God, like, please, God, give me, like, a community and
good friends, wholesome people.
Yes, right? Exactly. And that's when I did ITLA. So there was this, like, leadership program at the church I was going to dive deeper. And, like, most of the people were in high school, but it's, like, it was really where I found community and found like a foundation mm-hmm. for my faith. And then I went on a mission trip to Costa Rica. The mission trip I went to in Costa Rica is when I really felt like this just calling. Yeah, that's where I got baptized. I got baptized in the river in Costa Rica. And Eric hit my head on a rock when he baptized me.
Oh my gosh. That's not a good memory.
It was so funny. Of course, this is how I get baptized. There's no better way. But I got baptized and I really felt God just like on my heart, like, because I was just debating what I wanted to kind of do with my life. Sure. I just felt so much like purpose now, and that was the biggest thing, because I didn't think my life had any purpose mm-hmm. and now Jesus like showed me like I have so much purpose for you. And
how old were you at that point, do you remember?
I was going into my junior year. Okay. So
wow, so quite young. Very young.
Yeah still pretty young. I did a lot of it. I heard God's like that, just this like his voice, or just a reoccurring like strong thought in my head of like him saying like, my calling on your life is not like an option for you to consider, but it's a command for you to follow. Like, it was kind of intense because he was like, it was almost like a father, like, because he was like, Chloe, stop like still thinking that you might go down this path. Like,
that's
what I have for you, like, this is, you need to follow this. It's not an option. And so,
That's amazing, though. Not very many people get it straightforward like that.
Yeah, it was not. I think he knew he had to be pretty strong with me. So, so I came home, and that's when I was like, okay, I need to do missions. Like, I had never felt more myself and more, like, alive and, like, close with God than I did on that mission trip to Costa Rica. And so I, like, graduated a year early from high school. Okay. So, because I was just, like, still struggling in high school. And I tried my best to live out my faith there. I started, like, a club there called R&R, Relationship Not Religion.
And I love it.
That was kind of my big thing that I had understood, that it was a relationship with Jesus. And I wanted so badly for my old friends to, like, know that. And so I started this club, and we actually would meet in the school and pray in the classroom, and I'd get like guest speakers to come and stuff like that.
I love that.
I did that my last year there, but I ended up being able to graduate a year early, and that's when I went and did the World Race, which is a 9-month mission trip, and it's for like gap year students if you want to take a gap year.
Okay.
I went to Ecuador for 3 months, and then India for 3 months, and then Zambia for 3 months. Yeah.
Wow.
So you just have that a little like travel backpack that you pack everything in.
So wait, is this like a program that people can sign up to do?
Yeah,
or
anyone. Okay. Yeah, it's nationwide. Yeah. So it was like 50. It's from like the gap year one is 18, used to be 18 to 22 is the okay. age. So, and anyone who like has a heart for missions, they send you off. And so I was with 50 other people my age, and
that's incredible. And you stay with that same group throughout all the 9 months,
each country. Yep.
Wow. Yeah,
we'll like break off into teams and do different missions in the country. So
like what, like outreach or
like Ecuador, I was like a teacher.
Oh,
I was not really
for little kids or
no, high schoolers. Yes. And but it was like a very low income area.
Got it.
I would like help them learn English, even though I was literally their age because I graduated a year early.
Yeah.
So I was like trying to teach seniors, but we really just got to more counsel them, which was really awesome. And we did a lot of outreach there too, like kind of street ministry stuff. And then India, we did a lot of like evangelizing to like the Hindu like communities there. And
was that rough? Did you find it very difficult or no?
It was really
They were very hostile towards that, right? That's what I found.
Yeah, I think it's just such a... I feel like the men were really intense there and hard.
Very true. Yeah, the women were softer, definitely. But the men had a very...
Yeah, exactly. Got to, like, just see a lot of miracles and the way God
that's
moved
so wonderful.
There. Yeah, it was awesome. And then from there, went to Zambia, which is in Africa, and we went to a orphanage there and lived at an orphanage. And
that's got to be heartbreaking too to see, but very rewarding.
Yeah, that was probably the hardest one because we were there for 3 months. So
you develop
got really
a relationship
close with some of these kids.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was amazing.
So how, once you found Jesus, then you go down this path of, you know, going to church and discovering your purpose and getting like really falling in love and having a relationship with Jesus. How are your parents in that stage and the rest of your family? Were they kind of like, what is this?
Yeah.
What's happening? Or
I came off pretty intense when I first became a Christian.
Yeah.
Because I was just so excited about it, and it just blew my mind. Like,
same.
I was like, I want my family to experience this love that I've experienced and changed my life. And so, like, especially I think with my dad and my brother, like, I'm pretty, like, passionate person. So I almost came off, like, a little self-righteous, like, because they wouldn't come to church or they wouldn't, like, understand this new life I had lived. And I feel like my sister was really the main one who, like, really wanted to do all that with me. And so she would bring, she'd come to church with me and got involved in, like, Young Life and Wildlife herself and found, like, her own faith. And so that was, like, just so special for me. And what's really amazing is that my mom, so shortly after I gave my life to Christ, my mom had gotten sober and like for real this time. And it was so cool because I hated my mom. Like I had her blocked for, like, on my phone. Like, all, like, I had so much pent up. Like, I didn't understand addiction. Mm-hmm. So many things. And so when I was, like, forgiven by Jesus, he was so clear with me of, like,
you need to forgive.
Who am I to, like, withhold forgiveness from my mom when I've been forgiven of so much? Mm-hmm. And so that was just such a healing time for me and my mom as well. And she really found her own faith through, like, AA. And my parents still kind of wished I would have taken a more... I never ended up, like, going to college or doing anything like that. Like, they kind of, like,
traditional,
wanted me to do that. And I had to fight them. That's why I had to graduate a year early. Uh-huh. So I wouldn't put off college. So even though I still put off college later on. But they I think that was, it was still just really hard for them to kind of
understand.
Be like, who is this new Chloe? But what's cool is God, while I was gone for those 9 months, like, just really showed me, like, okay, Chloe, you need to tone it down a little bit. Mm. You need to just really start praying for, like, especially my dad and my brother. And because I just love them so much. And, like, I can, like, see that they're, like, close. And just pray for them and, like, invite them to church sometimes. But, like, don't
judge them.
Allow them to have their own journey with it. And don't try and, like, force anything.
I love that. Especially, I totally get what you're saying with, we're so in love and we're so excited that it's like, it's, and that's why I feel like Christians sometimes get a bad rap, because we just want to talk about Jesus, you know, to everybody. And it's like, oh, here she comes again. It's like talking to Jesus. But it is such a incredible thing that happens. It's, and that's what I say to a lot of people. My kids being saved is the single most important thing that I have ever accomplished in my life. Not that I've accomplished, but that I can, like, focus die tomorrow and be like, I know I will be resting because they do know Jesus now. Yeah. And to me, it's the most, I mean, it is the most important thing. But trying to explain that to friends, it sounds so lunatic, you know, you're like, oh, you're crazy, or this is silly, or I know Jesus, but whatever. But I get it. We want to, for people to know him like we do. And I still struggle with this with my parents. They have faith, but they don't have a relationship. They have a religion too that they follow, you know. And it's just, it's sad. And my, when you say about coming off of a self-righteous, my son is very much in love with Jesus. He thinks he's gonna be a preacher or pastor or whatnot. And we went through, we had like a rocky journey too. And he actually wants to go to college for it, like theology or some kind of like that.
Yeah.
But he does come off very self-righteous sometimes. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I are very concerned about that, of like, you know, this is, Antonio, you have to be just more like less judgment. Yeah, more understanding. Yeah. Like you said, that everybody has their journey, and you've been there too. Like you've done bad things too, you know, quote unquote. So, you know, allow people to fall, you know, to find their own way to God, because it's not, all of us don't find him the same way.
Exactly.
It's very unique. Yeah. So I just love that you had that realization at some point that, you know, Jesus told you, hey, chill.
Yeah, and he's just like, do you trust me? Like kind of asking me to let go of that, and that, like, he knows my heart, and that, you know, like, to continue just to pursue him
with my life. And pray for your parents.
And pray for them, and let, you know, God take care of it. And so, we're, like, still seeing that work. But it's really cool from, like, when I was 16 to now, like, my parents are, like, really proud of me and, like, everything I've done.
You spend this 9 months away, and then Jesus revealed to you all of this, you know, and then what happens when you get back?
Yeah, well, I thought I was going to be, like, a world-traveling, like, missionary.
Oh,
and that was kind of what I was thinking, but God had a different plan. I came home and really just felt, like, on my heart that God was, like, your story and, like, what I've redeemed you from and all those things, like, those are for, that is for people, like, here in America. And I'm like, oh no, because, like, it is so much easier to, like, be a missionary, like, in a random country where they think
that
you're
really
awesome.
Definitely
they think you're so cool, and then, like, then coming back here to America where, like, that's, like, you know,
You're not cool.
You're not that cool. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So I stayed here. My plan was to go out to the Dream Center in LA just a couple months after. They have like a leadership academy there as well.
Okay.
Because I just knew I was really passionate about people that struggled with addiction, mm-hmm. And like homelessness. And that was kind of really what my heart was always drawn to when I was on the world race, was those type of people. And so I wanted to like learn how to do that here in America. And so that's when I thought of the Dream Center. I kind of had this crazy crisis of faith a couple months back into being in America, and was mixed up in this cult for a little bit.
Oh.
Which is a whole nother story.
Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, I can. I'll like try and summarize it. But I was out at breakfast in Fisher's, and a girl came up to my car and was like, knocked on my window. I didn't know her. And she was like, hi, this is so weird, but like, I feel like God put on my heart to like ask you to do like a Bible study with me. And I was like, okay, that's, yeah. And I had literally just prayed that morning, like asking to like use me that day. This girl comes and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so cool. And you know, in the Christian world, that's not that weird.
Yeah,
And so like a week later, I meet her at a coffee shop, and I like thought she wanted me to help her. Like the way she worded it seemed like she wanted me to lead it, kind of.
And but she was leading.
Yeah. So I came and she like had this whole Bible study prepared for me. She just said, now I'm going to like say some things you've probably never heard of before and all these things. And I had shared with her my whole testimony before this.
Oh.
So she like knew I was like
a Christian.
She called herself like the disciple and all these things. And she had like an 8-part series of these Bible studies. So I was just, that was just the first one.
Okay.
And, but this, she knew her word like no one else. I was like so amazed.
Impressed.
And I was like, I want to know my word like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like 3 more with her. And again, all these like things are coming up through it that are really strange, like the way she's talking about it. Basically like having to emulate exactly how the disciples like did it. It's really weird. So I was supposed to leave for LA in like a month to go to the Dream Center. Her parents are in this. They're like the Church of Jesus Christ, but like it's called the Sold Out Movement. And so her parents had been in this for years. And so I go over to their house and they're trying to convince me to move in to their house because
is that Mormon? Like Church of Jesus Christ? No.
Don't know, but I looked it up later. Basically, I'm here at their house and I'm at like the 5th study, and it's all about like light and darkness and your sin. And so I share my testimony with her parents too. And the mom goes, okay, before we continue, like we just need to make sure you know that you're not saved yet. Like, you know that, right? Like, we want to make sure we're all on the same page. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, my whole life, like, has changed because of my relationship with Jesus. How am I not saved? And they were, like, using the scripture to kind of, like, manipulate it and, like, really confuse me. And I'm just this, I was 19 at the time,
turned
19, with, like, 2 40-year-olds, and the girl was, like, 25. Yeah, and so it's us 4, and I'm just, like, so clouded. I'm so confused. They're, like, using the Bible to say I'm not saved, and I was there for 3 hours, and I remember, like, getting home just bawling. Like, I freaked my mom out. She had never seen me cry like that because I was like, I don't know if I'm saved.
Yeah.
And I woke up that next morning, and I asked Jesus, like, God, I'm not leaving my room until you tell me if I'm saved or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened up my Bible, and I got to the story of the woman at the well, and saw that Jesus, literally all he did was just meet this woman where she was at,
mm-hmm.
told her everything she ever did, forgave her, like offered her a new life, and then boom, she went and told everyone about him,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And that,
like,
was it.
It's that simple, like just an encounter with Jesus.
You don't have all the formulas
I don't need to be taught like this certain way or all these things. And so
look how deceiving the devil is.
Yeah.
Like, he will put people that know the Bible. I mean, the devil knows the Bible.
Yeah,
he knows the word.
Yeah.
And it makes us, envious, you know, or like, oh, we want to be like this. And
yeah,
wow. And I honestly feel like the people who are attacked the most are the people who are in love with Jesus the most, yeah, you know, yeah, because he doesn't want that.
Want them to be, yeah, spreading yes, that. Yeah, I think it was really eye-opening. And what was crazy is I was supposed to go to LA like 2 weeks later. And I really wow, felt God that morning tell me, like, Chloe, like, so much of your faith is in, like, your foundation was in, like, the church or Young Life or the World Race. Like, I always, like, was on to the next thing. And I always really wanted to, like, show people that living life for Jesus was cool and fun. And so, like, oh, yeah, LA is cool and yeah, fun. I'll go there and show people this. And I feel like he really asked me in that moment, like, would you, like, take this next year and just, like, be with me? Like, not do anything cool? Because I had just, like, because it was inspiring how much they knew the word. And yeah, I was like, I don't know if my foundation really is in just, like, me and Jesus and this word. Like, I feel like it's so much in all these organizations. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I, like, decided to take a year and build a solid foundation on the Bible. Didn't end up going to LA. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, I did school online.
Like college credits?
College, yeah, okay, online. Waitress and stuff that year. But it was truly, I feel like that was, I always say this, like, I had just gotten back from, like, a year of missions. Mm. But, like, that year that I just, like, really just, like, pursued him and not all the, like, I don't know, everything else. It was the most, like, impactful year probably wow, of my faith, because it was challenging. Like, I felt a lot of spiritual attack, like, after those, with those people. Like, I couldn't really go to my church anymore. I wow, felt like the enemy was just, like, I just had a lot of struggles. I had to go to counseling and was just kind of, like, really struggling with my faith.
Did you end up saying goodbye to them, like, I can't do this anymore?
Yes, or? And yeah, I tried to meet with her actually 2 months later, uh-huh, and, like, come with, like, all these things, and she brought her boyfriend, so it was her and her boyfriend and me, and
oh,
so to try and, like, show her, like, all, what about all of this, like, this isn't lining up with what mm-hmm, you're saying. And she just kind of agreed to disagree, and mm, it was sad. I really wanted to, like, be like, shower.
Yeah.
But that means, you know, it didn't really go down like that. But it was still, like, I feel like God really used that for his good in our relationship, because mm-hmm, it really pushed me to just, like, want to know my word. And
yeah.
And also, like, yeah, it was powerful.
I want to point one thing out too before you continue. It's like the year that you technically didn't do anything cool, or that it felt like very unproductive, it was yeah, the most impactful. So I yeah, love that. And yeah, I kind of want to reiterate it, that because it's sometimes it feels like we are not doing anything, or we don't have anything yeah, to show. But he does say, seek the kingdom, seek my kingdom first, then all of the other things will be added to you.
Exactly.
So that's what we need to do, is, like, make him truly a priority, not just, like, checking yeah, the boxes. And he yeah, basically changed yeah, your life.
Yeah, and we can get so caught up into, like, doing for mm-hmm, God. I feel like, at least I know I can, and I feel like putting all that on hold just to really pursue him yeah, like, was really huge. It was hard. Like,
oh, it's just, I can't imagine. I'm a doer fun, too. So I'm like, I'm not doing yeah, that. I don't feel like I'm productive, you know, exactly, productive or whatever. Yeah. So it's very inspiring to yeah, hear that.
Yeah. And it was awesome. And so I did end up, because I had already fundraised all the money to go to LA. And so they just put it back a year. So okay, I ended up going a year later.
Okay.
So yeah, and that was supposed to be 9 months, but I was out there for almost 4 years working out there.
Wow.
Yeah, so I loved it out there, just working a lot with the women's rehab they had.
Did you live in the on site there?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
So at the Dream Center, it's like 700 people, but wow, it's an old Catholic hospital.
Wow.
So there's, like, all these different wings, and so there's, like, all the ministries. So they house, like, homeless families. They have wow, rehabs is kind of their biggest. They have, like, over 300 people in year-long rehab there.
Wow.
For free for them. Yeah. And
that's
like
amazing.
Veterans, and they have all these different ministries, foster care kids who age out of the system.
Wow.
And then they have separate building for like all the student, like the leadership school, which I did, and then the staff and interns. And so I stayed there and did that. Yeah, so I was on like Skid Row a few times a week.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Which, if you don't know, it's like 52 blocks of homeless people right in the center of downtown LA.
I didn't know it was 52 blocks. It's one of the largest slums in the world, right?
Yeah. Like, I think so.
And I see some.
I hope there's not a larger one.
Wow. So it was part of your ministry to go out and do outreach?
Yeah,
in there.
So do outreach there. Really just
would you
like,
just go out and pray for people? Or
yeah, what? Get to know their stories, pray with them. The hope would be to like bring them back and bring them into our program.
Wow. They needed one to be there, right?
Like, yeah, like you can't force. Yes. Yeah, they needed one to be there. And it's really hard. Yeah. You know, some of them love the life they live being homeless. So
I see that.
Those people you just like befriend and just try and love them where they're at.
Yeah.
But that was amazing. And all the while I was getting my degree through Indiana Wesleyan University in substance abuse counseling. So
wow.
It was really helpful, like doing that online, but like being
on the field
center.
Too, yeah. Kind of mm-hmm. like experiencing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is that what you have your degree on?
Yeah.
That's
amazing. I actually just finished it like 2 months ago.
Wow.
It took me like 7 years.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes it is what it is.
I was busy. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, my degree is in substance abuse counseling. Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. Okay. So then you stay there for 4 years in LA.
Yeah. And then I felt God really calling me back to like my sister was like a junior or a sophomore in high school. And I just hadn't been with my family in so long. And I was like, I feel like I'm putting so much of my effort and energy into all these people, but like I need to start building that with my family, because I just always run away from Fishers because it was just so hard for me not to like find a new like a Christian community there and all these things. And so, but God was really clear about like it's time to go back. So I went back, and in 2021, end of 2021, and yeah, that's when my plan again was just to like waitress, finish my degree, and then Young Life, like the area director at the time, had reached out asking if I'd like a part-time job.
Wow.
Like, yeah, basically just like
at the school that you went to?
At HSC, yeah, where I went to school. Yeah, and so
that's
that was
full
like
circle
full
moment,
circle.
But, yeah.
Like, I didn't even really pray about it. I started crying, and I was like, yeah, of course. And then what's funny is like 6 months later, he left and moved to North Carolina, so then I became full-time and just kind of really God like gave me a heart for the kids like in Fishers community, because I was one of them. I mean, it was night and day different ministry going from like Skid Row to
reach kids in Hamilton County.
Exactly. Yes. So hard. So that was like a challenging for sure, and still can be sometimes, but I like that's who I was.
Yeah.
You know, like this I had everything I needed and I looked good on the outside, but like a lot of these kids are really struggling behind the scenes. And
and you knew that you were too, like, right?
Yeah.
You wanted to keep up this facade, like you said, but
exactly.
You knew it, and even like the meaniness and making fun of it, but you know that that's kind of a defense mechanism.
Exactly.
So do you guys speak about the gospel in there and the groups?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think that there's like, what is it, one that's called FC something?
Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
I think.
FCA.
Yeah. FCA. Because my son is involved in that.
So it's similar. Like FCA is like student led and it's at the school.
Yeah.
For Young Life. And it's like, it's Christians. Young Life is a lot more focused on outreach. So
it's
like you don't have to be a Christian
to join. Okay.
So that's
got
why
it.
I said like we'll have a lot of kids who like they party on the weekends, but they come to Young Life on Monday nights.
Okay.
At first I judged that, but then now being on this side, I'm like, wait, that's exactly
the
kids we want.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And the fact that they want to explore Jesus, even though they may struggle with this, or but they keep coming back, is really special. So And that's how I met my husband.
Okay.
So I just got married.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. In November. And
you met him in Young Life?
Yes. So okay. He worked for Young Life out in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
That's where he's from. And we had like a nationwide staff training in Georgia. So I met him there the last night of this staff training. And
wow.
It was cute. We like flirted a little, but then we realized like he's from Arizona. I live in Indiana, like no point. But a week later, he like followed me on Instagram, and I found out later that he's not like a social media guy at all. Uh-huh. So he made an Instagram to like
just to follow
to find me.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah, because he couldn't stop thinking about me. You know, so he always jokes like it was either really creepy if it didn't work out or really romantic. So thankfully it did work out, and we started a relationship like long distance, and then he moved here like 6 months later.
Wow.
Quit his job and moved here and proposed like a few months later, and then we got married in November. So
wow. Yeah. Is he not at Young Life anymore?
So he was like part-time with me doing wildlife, but then he just got hired on to the Fishers Fire Department. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, he's going to be a firefighter.
Oh, and that's amazing.
Yeah, so he's almost done with his, like, academy and all of that. But,
okay.
Yeah, that'll be his thing, so.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And he can actually spread the gospel in
totally.
There, too.
Yeah. And he's a Young Life leader, so he leads all the sophomore boys.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you see in the future for you? Like,
I don't know. Honestly, at this point, I could...
You're just being led by God.
Yes. I think right, like, now it is so full circle that this is what I get to do now. Mm-hmm. And it definitely comes with a lot of challenges. But I do see myself eventually, like, getting into substance abuse
counseling
more in the future. But, yeah, as of right now, I love, it's like such a big need, like mm-hmm. working with, I mean, high school, I think, is kind of when you decide really who you want to be and like mm-hmm. what you want to believe in. And so like the fact that we get to kind of come in there and share who Jesus is and who they are, it's just really an honor that I get to help do that, you know?
Yeah,
so
I
don't see myself leaving that anytime soon, but
okay.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm like settling in Fishers, because I just always
that's
wanted
like out of all places. You travel the world and you're
now
like
I love it. And yeah, God's given me like an awesome community of friends here now too. And so
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I do have one question for you.
Yeah.
And for like thinking of the audience too. Do you have any words of wisdom for Christian kids, girls or boys, that are in the college community or high school and seeing their friends spiraling out of control, drinking too much, doing crazy things? Some of them are Christians too, or they think they are,
too.
And doing that too. And like, it's so hard to be in the position of being that kid, knowing better and watching all of this. How do you navigate this? Do you have any words of wisdom for the kids who are changing and seeing their friends do this without judging them? How do you approach this?
Yeah. I always think, since I was that kid, I remember like the first group of friends I made as a Christian when I was in high school, they were like super judgy, and they judged like all my old friends, and I remember just being like, my old friends were like a lot nicer than you guys, honestly. And
such a turn off.
And I think it's so easy to judge like the sins that we can see. And so like, if you know your friends are like partying or drinking, hooking up, all those things, like that is so easy to judge. But I think like the sins of, in our heart, like, you know, the gossip and thinking you're better or these things, like God says all sin is equal. We all fall short of his glory. And I think like approaching them with a humble heart, like changes everything, you know, and like being a friend that like your friends who are going down that path, like, can still come to and talk to. I remember I used to love to, when I got a stronger in my faith, I was able to kind of go back to some of those places and go to the parties every once in a while. I would not suggest doing that right away,
mm-hmm.
because you will fall. Like, I always thought, okay, I'm going to influence them.
But you end up
being
influenced.
Over time, yeah. So So be careful that, make sure you have people pouring into you and like a community that's doing that. But then also you get to like kind of go back in those spaces and be a light and be someone that your friends can be real with, and you can be vulnerable too. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think leading with vulnerability and opening up about your struggles and then allowing your friends to do that and just being like, I get it. Like, let's do this together, or let's mm-hmm. try, you know, like Jesus was always so relational, yes. you know, and we can't just like call out sin like he did, like mm-hmm. he, you know, like, but we can do that in a way where we're in relationship with them and we start to show them there is another way to live your life than yeah. what culture says. And then sometimes like some friends, you just got to let them figure it out. Like I've seen that with a lot of some of my old friends. Like they are now getting into all that, and it's like they're gonna have to kind of taste that, the brokenness of that, yeah. if that's, and I'm gonna be there though when they do, you know. Aww. So
yeah
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you so much for your story. Yes. I think that a lot of us, I mean, I'm sure the youngsters are going to, you know, be super into it, but it was very inspirational for me yeah. too. So I love it. And thank you. I wish you all the best. I'm very excited to see what God has in store for you all the things all the more things you're going to accomplish.
Thank you so much.
Would you want to close us in prayer?
Yeah. Okay. Pray. Yeah. Dear God, we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. God, we thank you that you are just all good and we can trust you. And I just thank you for being the perfect author and allowing our past to cross with Karina. And thank you so much for what she's doing here by sharing the story of you and what you've done in so many people's lives. God, we pray, God, for whoever may be watching this, Lord, I pray, God, that they just know that you have a plan and a purpose for them, Lord, and that you love them unconditionally, God, and you just want us to be real with you and be honest and come to you, Lord. And so I just pray that this would glorify you, God, and that you would just continue to order our steps and just bless this podcast as well. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you, or if you know someone who needs to hear it, let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries, and until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.